TJ.
No, oh, Kevin.
After judgment, I feel so sinful.
I'm so full of sin. Yeah. We need to be saved. We need to be saved. Save us, Bibleman.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to do a thing where I, like, threw up the taper. Go to the music.
Fuck it.
Attention shoppers. Today's 69 cent special is a two-pack.
TJ Cole and Kevin Smith.
Hello everyone and welcome to 69 cent special. I am TJ and I am full of sin.
Hi TJ.
Welcome to Sinners Anonymous. Okay, we're good. My microphone stand almost attacked me.
Again.
And today we're watching, according to the case, we're watching...
Bible Man.
It's your read, by the way. I read Judgment.
Yeah.
According to the case, we have Bible Man, Jesus, Our Savior, Part 2. But according to the VHS within this case, it is Bible Man, Jesus, Our Savior, Part 1.
For all we know, it could very well be Jesus, Our Savior, Part 3.
Right. Or like Part Pi.
Negative 1.
Yeah. Some sort of irrational
minus
number.
1. Of all the tapes that we've watched so far, besides Salty, this is probably the one most likely to be haunted, I think.
Oh, I mean, this case has seen better days.
Yeah.
So it looks like something burst forth from within it.
I think most religious media that you find at Goodwill was probably donated from a church.
Mm, yeah.
This clearly was not.
2002.
This is...
No, this is too...
This is a home copy.
Too abused...
Too used and too abused.
It's also got two Goodwill stickers on it.
For those of you who don't know about Bible Man, or to his friends, Bibbleman.
Bibbleman.
He is a Christian media superhero.
Good start.
Played by Willie Ames of Charles in Charge and Eight is Enough, as proudly proclaimed on the gosh damn.
Oh, there you go.
Cover.
Gosh darn.
No, I say gosh damn.
Okay. Gosh damn it.
Go to gosh damn heck, you fucker.
Whoa.
I like to mix it up, you know.
Eat my cock, you rude person.
He's stupid. Like, he looks real dumb.
He looks dumb.
This is from the second attempt at Bible Man.
He looks like a fucking Batman and Robin reject.
That's going to be a theme.
Yeah, a lot of Batman and Robin rejects.
Specifically,
here.
These guys were taking a lot of cues from Joel Schumacher.
Is that Batman and Robin guy?
Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Oh, okay, yeah, got it. Bat nipples. Okay.
Yep, bipples.
Bipple man.
Oof.
I've come to save your nipples.
From the devil.
From the devil.
Basically, this was on the same tier at my church that I used to go to as, like, Veggie Tales this is quality entertainment to show to your children, and I don't know if they ever watched it because it's not good. I wouldn't call it bad. Like,
do you want to know the names of these characters?
I think I already know them.
Give me a guess.
I think it says on the back. I think he's Cypher.
Okay.
I don't know her.
She's Bible Girl.
She's Bible Girl.
Yeah, and that is Cypher. You got Cypher. Nice.
Cypher the Sky Dragon.
It's his two most trusted allies. Oh, Primordius Drool. I know he's in Part 1.
Yeah.
Is that some sort of fucking jab at evolution?
No.
Okay, good.
Maybe.
Right?
I don't know. I haven't seen a full episode of Bible Man in a very long time, and I think I've only ever seen, like, the first couple episodes.
Got it. But was it before he had this fucking VR Troopers-ass suit?
I think I saw one episode before that, and then one episode since.
Yeah, because he had, like, a purple and yellow one before.
He did have a purple and yellow, and then he became the White Ranger.
Right. He became, like, the Platinum Ranger once he had Jesus under his
Does
Bible.
It look like... Is it the way our box is bent, or does it look like he's constantly doing duck face?
It's the way our box is bent, but it's bent so perfectly that he's always doing duck face.
Oh, I just realized I was doing a visual gag for the...
I mean, we'll have a picture of this. So.
You'll see it.
Yeah. It's like when you fold a dollar bill so you can make Lincoln like smile or frown. It's like that sort of thing.
If you can fold a $1 bill to make Lincoln do anything, you're a fucking wizard.
Welcome to my sorcery.
Oh no.
BEVC 2297.
No.
I know, right? Bible Man is using a font.
It is. Yeah, it's just a system font.
Yeah.
Or possibly word art.
Something like that. God, this is a bad cover.
It's a bad cover. It's bad written on the back. I'm not looking forward to reading. I'm only going to read the top part of the blurb. Or do we want to spoil this movie by reading part two?
That's a good question. Because the only other summary I could find for part one was a spoiler summary.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to spoil myself for Bible Man part one. Or Bible Man, Jesus, Our Savior part one.
But this is only going to spoil the ending.
Correct. And each of them did say the ending was a cliffhanger. That's all I caught for the part one summary was
right.
Ends in a cliffhanger. I'd say fuck it.
You just going to do it all?
Yeah, because we're not going to actually see any of that.
Let's do a half measure. I'm going to read up to the part where we get to the spoilers. And then if you want to hear more, we can go.
Got it. Okay, got it. Ready? Got it. Okay. I embrace it.
Miles Peterson had it all. Wealth, status, success. Still, something was lacking. Then, in his darkest hour, the words of a single, capital B, book, gave Miles Peterson the burning desire to know capital G, God. Now, transformed by the capital W word of the capital L, Lord, and empowered by capital H, his strength.
Settle down, bookworm adventures. What is going on?
Miles Peterson leaves out a pledge to... Lives out a pledge to fight evil in the name of God under the identity of the mighty avenger of capital T truth known as capital B Bibleman.
There was a sentence in there. I think it was the second sentence. Could you reread it, please?
Still, something was lacking.
Third sentence.
Then, in his darkest hour, the words of a single book gave Miles Peterson the burning desire to know God.
Okay. Never mind. I had a bit, and then it just it exited my head with all those capital letters getting thrown at it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
It's just there are a lot of weirdly. I mean, I know why they're all placed like that.
It was something involving the burning desire to know about God.
Oh,
something gross.
Why would you read the Bible unless you had the burning desire to know God? Like anyway,
It's not like Harry Potter, which is an entertaining read.
Yeah, it's a boring, boring read.
Like when I was young, dumb, and full of curiosity.
You know. Oh,
I tried to read the Bible. I think I got like 10 pages in before I like gave up.
The thing about the Bible is that like Genesis is the worst book
by far, and it's like you need a strong opening in a modern novel. Like, come on.
But instead, it does have a very strong opening.
Well, God makes the earth, yeah,
and all the shit.
But then he starts going into fucking genealogy.
Yeah, begats.
Yeah, and then was son of Manchuso, son of Bendy Bandersnatch, son of...
That's my favorite one.
Bendy Bandersnatch?
Yeah, Bendy Bandersnatch. Yeah. He lived son for 900 Steve years. Irwin.
Yeah. Son of Methuselah,
Sorry, was Steve
son
Irwin
of God
there?
Of War? What?
Do you want to hear the rest?
Yeah, fuck it.
Part two.
Hey.
Bible Man has met in battle with Primordius Drool, intergalactic desperado and despot of evil.
Oh, hell yeah.
Realizing he may never return, Bible Man has entrusted UNIS. Eunice. I'm just going to say it.
Like the old lady name?
Yeah, UNICE.
Oh, you nice.
To initialize Revelation Code Omega, which would seal the Bible cave and its secrets from the outside world. Forever.
The Omega Code. We got another video called the Omega Code. Are they in the same universe?
No.
Okay.
Bible Man's only chance for survival rests upon the shoulders of his two most trusted allies, Cypher and Bible Girl.
Bible Girl!
One of them has a much cooler name than the other.
And it's Bible Girl.
It's Bible Girl.
Cypher, I only think of After Earth whenever I hear the name Cypher.
I think of The Matrix.
That's a good one.
My Cypher.
My Cypher.
Only by joining together can they defend the city from Jewel's evil plot and defeat his wicked scheme to turn every believer from their faith. What do you get out of that?
Is that grim satisfaction? I don't know.
It's just you being a dickhead.
Yeah, Grim Fandango? I don't know.
No, Grim Fandango's good.
No, Grim Fandango's dope.
There's two more paragraphs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Do you want them?
Yeah, fucking slam it into me.
In the finale of this action-packed sequel, Bible Man, Cypher, and Bible Girl rely on their faith in Jesus to overcome the ultimate battle of good against evil and guide the citizens of Andersonville back to their first love.
Whoa, run on Jesus. Sentence much?
that whole
shit.
Thing is one sentence.
God, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, and I had to fucking put God, it in my
this,
mouth.
This is like a NaNoWriMo novel. They just needed word count.
Will Bible Man... Will Bieber Man survive? Can the people of Andersonville realize that they have lost their way and must remember to look to God for the hope they seek? In this surprise ending, the answer and more can be found in this cliffhanger episode, Jesus Our Savior, Part 2.
Which we're not watching.
Yeah, we're not watching. We're watching Part 1.
Andersonville.
Yeah, that's a terrible name for a town.
Of all the infinite words
to use,
you choose Andersonville. You could have done like...
Is it named after Louis Anderson?
Hey, it's me, Louie.
It's me, Louie.
Listen to my brother and me. And watch Monster Factory.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's the same people.
Not all of the same people.
It's me, Louie.
It's me, Louie.
I've been nasty this whole time.
God, if we had Louie Anderson on, the...
Bleed in my mouth.
Don't bleed on me. Just kidding. Do. I'm nasty. Oh, I've been nasty this whole time.
Okay.
TJ.
Well, Kevin,
what do you expect out of Bible Man?
Now, granted, did Everything is Terrible have some Bible Man stuff?
Everything is Terrible had some Bible Man stuff. The Cinema Snob went into some Bible Man stuff in his DVR Hell series.
Got it. I think I saw that.
But he didn't show too much footage.
Right.
I'm going to ask you some specifics.
Okay.
Because from what I remember of Bible Man, there are a lot of specific points where it's bad.
Okay.
What do you think the set design is like?
Power Rangers level, but worse.
All right.
Like mostly cardboard.
I will note that.
Okay.
How good do you think Bible Man's acting is going to be?
See, is that Willie Ames?
Willie Ames of Charles in Charge and It Is Enough.
See, I think the acting is going to be fundamentally sound, but over the top to the point that it doesn't matter.
All right. I'm noting that.
Okay.
How much of a shit do you think Cypher is going to be giving?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I'm going to say less than Jaden Smith in After Earth.
Okay. All right.
Which I don't know if that's Jaden Smith in After Earth is a high or low bar.
Well, Jaden Smith in After Earth barely, like, emotes.
Right.
So.
But is that due to lack of trying? I'm going to say yes.
Well, it's also like he was given, like,
poor direction.
After Earth.
Yeah. At least it's not Will Smith fighting Will Smith.
Fighting Will Smith, fighting Will Smith, fighting Will Smith, fighting Will Smith. Fighting
Optimus
Will Smith.
Prime is fighting Will Smith, and Will Smith comes rat-a-tat-tat, and the Will Smith comes. Have you seen someone made a version of the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny, but replased everyone with Godzilla?
Old Godzilla was hopping around Tokyo City like a big playground when suddenly Godzilla burst from the shade.
Exactly.
Hit Godzilla with a Godzilla grenade. Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty great.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah. One time, I tried to impress someone in high school by just reciting the entirety of the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
That is something us as high schoolers would do.
It did not work. No one was impressed.
Slightly surprised. Especially knowing the high school you went to.
Yeah, I went to a Nerdlinger high school.
Yeah, you went to a fucking...
But I was trying to impress like someone like... I was basically doing like a mating dance.
One of those peacock...
I was like a bird. I was like that bird that like goes woof and then like it's got the big blue thing.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl.
Yeah, except I was doing...
Check out my puffy chest.
Except I was doing Lemon Demon.
Yeah.
Or Lemon Demon.
Limon Demon.
Lemon
Demon.
TJ.
Kevin.
Do you want to get this over with? Or do you have any questions for me?
I'm just hoping that this will cleanse the palate of Judgment.
Oh, it will.
Me.
This is going to be way more fun than Judgment.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
Yep.
Piss!
Yo, here's a story all about how a little Bible guy and all this shit is Bible.
Like him, Bible.
Man.
Blew his house with the blue little window. Anyway, Bible Man.
Bible Man.
Fucking slaps.
It slaps.
It bops.
Shit.
Awesome. Most fun we've had watching a video in a while.
In a while. Since, well, no, we had a lot of fun with Spookly.
Sure, sure. But I think this, in terms of content, was more entertaining.
And Time Warrior, like, we had good bits.
We did. That Time Warrior is more like a fucking bad movie.
That's an experience.
Yeah.
This is... listen, I'm not going to recommend Bible Man to anybody.
No.
But if you're into, like, cheesy-ass children's early 2000s. Christian media...
Yeah.
You could do a whole fucking lot worse.
There were legitimately funny jokes.
There were a surprising amount.
So, the plot of this episode, it's a 42-minute episode.
42:20.
This is just after Bibleman had defeated Luxor.
Yeah, some asshole.
Some asshole. And then, so they're unwinding. Bibleman's making a new suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His White Ranger suit.
Yeah, and then a new villain shows up named Corpusculus Fuck.
Primordius Drool.
Primordius Drool, who for some reason is like a Frank Sinatra.
He's Frank Sinatra for some reason, but he has a mohawk and bad front teeth.
Yeah, giant buck teeth. Big overbite. And like you pointed out...
There's a lot of Rat Pack in here.
There's like a weird amount of like Rat Pack references...
Like, a character later is Sammy Davey,
yeah.
Who is, like, very obviously Jewish-coded.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry yeah. Springer, but also Sammy Davis Jr.
It's weird. It's fucking weird.
And like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but...
not that I don't get the references, because obviously we caught them.
Right.
And they're for the parents in the audience, probably.
Most likely.
Because what fucking kid in 2000 and what, two?
2002.
Is gonna know who Frank Sinatra even is.
I mean,
you know?
I did because my dad listened to him. But
right, but like,
but that's about the extent of it.
We're the exception, not the rule.
Right. And
okay, yeah, but he's making a new suit.
He's making a new suit.
Primordius Drool shows up.
Yeah, and so he has to go face him or something.
Yeah, and Primordius Drool's plan is to. Overwork Bible Man.
Mm-hmm.
First, let Bible Man win a couple of times so that the people like start building him up.
Yeah.
And then start overworking him so that it's very clear he cannot do anything.
Like, it's actually...
And then they're like, he got them to all put their faith into him instead of God, and then he revokes that faith.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a sinister plan for a Christian children's media villain.
I mean, it is playing into the whole no God before me sort of commandment.
Right.
So that would be a little more easily coded in this sort of media. But yeah, at the same time, like, outside looking in, that's pretty dastardly.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good plan. It's unfortunate that he's a fucking...
He's a fucking dweeble.
He's dweeble Zappa.
Yeah. Apparently it's his mucus... That's the power.
That's his, like, power. Apparently, his mucus has, like...
energy lasers.
Components that are also in macaroni and cheese preservatives.
Yeah. Oh, the technobabble in this show is fucking hilarious.
There's a lot of good lines thrown in.
There are. There's a lot of really meta lines.
Really early on, Drool introduces himself to the evil computer.
Yeah, as the one that what Kevin read on the back, Primordius Drool, intergalactic desperado and
of destruction
of destruction and despot of evil.
And the evil computer is like, that's a nice name, but we're a 40-minute show. We don't got time to say that every time.
Yeah, and every time he says his full name, people are like, that's a really long name.
You should really shorten that.
You should really shorten that, which I thought was really funny.
At one point, Bible Girl asked Bible Man, "How did you know that would work?" And he says, "I wrote it that way." Because Willie Ames also wrote the episode.
And oh, God.
There was that one bit, activate the Y2K panic shit that we didn't use.
Yeah.
And I died.
Oh, my God. There were a lot of really good...
Good snide remarks.
Sort of like early SpongeBob, where there were little bits that like the kids maybe wouldn't pick up, but the adults who were fucking obligated to watch it with the kids are like,
you're trying to entertain me as well.
Yeah.
Like, there was some... And then, like, whenever there was an establishing shot of, like, a location...
It would have, like,
bottom third describing location. Every now and then, they would have, like, a line, like, a...
Boy, do we need new footage.
Exactly. That was a great one.
That was a good one.
But, I don't know, it was just... I was expecting to have fun watching it. I didn't expect it to be legitimately entertaining.
I seem to remember Bible Man being of the same, like, level of quality as fucking Colby the Computer.
Right?
I was not expecting this to be good.
No. Now, this might... I think this is one of the later Bible Mans.
This has the feeling of, like, a series finale.
Yeah. Oh, and he even mentioned...
He was like...
So, at the very end, like, it's a cliffhanger episode because it's part one of a part two.
Yeah, yeah. You heard the back.
Yeah. He's like, I'm off to go face Primordius Drool.
If anything happens to me, I want you to destroy everything.
Revelation Code Omega, and the computer's like,
but that'll destroy everything. Yeah. Nobody will be able to access
the Bible Cave,
or any of the information contained within.
Yeah,
and he was like, I can't let
it get in the hands of
the wrong. I can't let this get into the wrong hands or the wrong distribution system.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it was at the end of this very like serious, like hard choice moment,
which is like. Oh, he just doesn't like DVDs.
It was pretty great. Which is hilarious, because I think a lot of his stuff is now on DVD.
The evil computer also at one point says, listen, I've been in 6 videos and this has never worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. There were so many legitimately funny lines.
Like, Jerry Springer part was actually like legitimately funny in a couple parts.
It was, but it's still a little collar pulley.
Because it's like, ooh, that's a little
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stereotype. The funniest part to me was, because you know in Jerry Springer, there's always like a fight that starts.
Jerry,
and then like someone gets up and starts fighting with someone. The security has to pull him apart.
An
ancient lady gets up and starts like shuffling towards Bible Man.
Bible Man like gets a look of real fear.
Like legitimate terror. Security like intercepts her.
Which is either he's scared of this old woman who has the balls to go fight a superhero, or he's like, oh God, I'm going to have to kill an old woman.
Oh my goodness. So many little bits that I laughed out loud at.
The show clearly both takes itself way too seriously
and not seriously at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, man.
It's a weird combo because it starts off not taking itself seriously, which sort of establishes itself as saying don't take this seriously.
Right.
But all of the moral stuff you're supposed to take seriously.
But it never slows down for the moral.
Exactly. And it never gives you enough time to legitimately like sit and think about something
while
it's happening.
Which is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Because, I mean, it is for younger audiences, so you have to kind of keep the pace up.
But you're trying to moralize to them. Like, you're trying to teach them a moral, which means you kind of have to slow down for those parts so they can get it.
Yeah, and essentially, the Bible quotes used by Bible Man were sort of how I used to do book reports in college, where it was I would flip to a random page and find a quote on a page and I'm like, yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, you mean how most people quote the Bible?
Exactly. So it was just like, okay, that
sort of applies.
Yeah, if like give me context if you wanted to be more. This is just like a fucking lightsaber fight with a Frank Sinatra skunk hair man. They
love the shit out of the lightsaber stuff.
Dude.
There's a lot of him just doing lightsaber
stuff. It's the Sword of Justice.
Yeah.
He's wearing the armor of God.
Jesus Christ!
I'm a God, just play of righteousness! Jesus Christ!
I'll link that again. Fuck it.
Hell yeah, dude. He's awesome. I love that guy.
Once again, we got 2 Jesus things in a row where we reference the armor of God.
Yeah. Jesus Christ! And the first one because we found no entertainment in the video, so we needed to seek it elsewhere. And this one because they both reference the armor of God.
Now, you might be thinking, oh, they're pricing this on an awful lot. It must have, like, no problems whatsoever.
Oh, no, it does.
Mostly in terms of, like, for me, mm-hmm. It was the frenetic pacing, and then it just stops a couple times.
It was the frenetic pacing with a lot of scenes that in something with a budget would have something being played out shown.
Right.
It's told instead.
Yeah.
So a lot of the...
Oh, yeah, the fucking bit where in the computer.
Yeah, where they're just saying, like, oh...
Here's what the stuff that happened.
He's rampaging
the
city and Bible Man's going out to save things. And then the next scene is him on, what, Jerry Springer?
Yeah. Immediately he's on Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and I get that because, like, they don't have the money to fucking
do that. They got, like, $75 to make this
episode. Yeah, they have $75 and someone found a 5 in a cat in the couch in the seat that they used in the Jerry Springer set. So they're like, hell yeah, we can get an orange, like, shirt.
Pay that old lady.
Yeah. Pay that old lady an extra $5 to stand up and walk. But, we don't see Bible Girl or Cypher do fucking anything.
From what I recall, that might be, like, a trend.
Yeah?
I think.
Oh, speaking of Bible Girl.
Oh, yeah.
She shows up again. Like, because Cypher and Bible Man are in the
cave talking about shit.
Making the new suit.
Yeah.
And Bible Girl shows up again.
And they only talk to her as Bible Girl.
They only, yeah.
Bible Girl and Cypher only get referred to as their code names.
Bible Girl and Cypher, yeah.
Which makes me, but he gets referred to as both.
Bible Man and Miles.
Miles.
Yeah, Miles Peterson. Apparently, he had it all, status and success and wealth. But I didn't see any of that.
He lived in a manor.
He's like a Jesus Batman. And
that's entirely his, yeah.
I know. And
but yeah, so she comes in and yeah. They say, "Hey, Bible Girl, how was your vacation?" She's like, "Ah, it was great. I feel like a whole new woman."
And then there's a pause while they're looking at her. And he's like, "I don't see a difference."
I don't see a difference.
Yeah. They recast her.
They definitely recast her. We didn't check on that, but like that's the joke you would do if you recast her.
It was pretty great. I enjoyed that bit.
That's a really good bit if you're like trying to get away with recasting somebody.
Right.
It's like you call attention to it.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was fucking legitimately funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of lampshade hanging.
I don't know what that means.
So when you have a trope. And okay. You want to call attention to the fact that you're using a trope.
Oh, you basically yell about it.
You make a joke at its expense. You just put a little lampshade on it.
Got it.
That's a lamp now.
Yeah. oh, I see. Okay.
You know, it's like when you, like in a party scene and there's a guy like trying to sneak through the party and he like puts a lampshade on his head and stands perfectly still.
Yeah.
You know he's there. They clearly know he's there. But nobody's acknowledging him.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's referencing the trope in order to justify the trope being there.
Yeah. It's like a self-awareness of the trope.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, they did a lot of that.
Kids shows like that.
Mm-hmm. And I like seeing it. I think it's funny.
It's funny when it's done right, and this show definitely...
Sometimes it hammers it home too much, and you're all right, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I get it. You're Jesus.
I get it. Ooh. Yeah, so
Shinji getting the fucking robot. I get it.
Settle down, fucking Superman and Man of Steel.
Yeah, you're depressed. I get it.
Yeah.
Get in the robot.
You fell out of the airplane doing the Jesus cross pose. You're a Jesus metaphor.
Oh.
You're the savior of humanity.
Nicolas Cage, you're in a lot of movies where you're saving the world in a plane for some reason.
He's a vampire.
We get it.
Ugh.
And that was the... us being pedantic bit.
Thank you. I mean, that's not a bit. That's my fucking life.
Yeah, I'm trying to be that less.
I know. Me too. I do it for comedic purpose. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For a joke, I'll say basically anything.
Oh, yeah. Actually...
Yeah, I do that a lot.
It's
such a good thing to, like...
Especially because we both have glasses.
Especially since we both have glasses and we also like to talk out of our ass a lot.
Yeah. Actually,
I talk out of my ass a lot more than you do.
Sometimes I get real bad gas and I talk out of my ass a lot that way, but
gas on my asshole.
That laugh made me fart.
God.
They're not as fucking horrifying as last episode. So.
Oh God, there was one.
God, it was like I was Primordius fucking
drool.
Yeah. I always want to say Primordius gloop.
Well, because he's basically Ivan Ooze, right?
He is, with less purple.
Less purple and less personality.
Yeah.
He has a musical number.
I was going to say, back to your questions or your problems with pacing. It's just a fucking music break.
Like, we get it. You're an evil villain and you're definitely music themed. Because he's definitely Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I don't...
He sings Under My Skin.
Yeah. Like a weird version of it.
Yeah.
But it's Under My Skin.
Like... It's I think higher tempo too.
Yeah, it's some weird mixed up version of it.
Yeah. I was expecting him to do Mac the Knife personally.
But like
I guess that'd be Mac tonight.
What?
Mac tonight? The Moonhead guy?
Oh, from
from McDonald's?
Yeah,
he's based
that
on
guy.
Mac the Knife.
Oh. Was he a knife?
No, he's a moon.
Oh. But I was going to say with that musical bit, the thing that bothered me the most about it is when you have a show that's aiming for self-awareness, that uses self-awareness
and tells you
this is a 40-minute episode, your name is too long.
We gotta chop, we gotta move this along.
Keep with that theme, because that's funny.
Because it's... the
And yeah. you're basically ignoring the own the logic of your show.
Either have everyone be wasting time, because like, we gotta fill up 40 minutes with this shit,
mm-hmm.
or be frenetic the entire time.
Or have the scene fucking mean something.
Right.
Like you were saying, like, yeah. describe your thoughts for this scene.
So if he had been... If our boy Bible Man Bibbleman got kidnapped by the villain and was like, or one of the characters, right?
Yeah, any of them.
If one of them got kidnapped and Drool was like holding them like hostage and he was doing the song as like a form of torture.
Yeah, great.
That's a good way to build him up as like a sinister dude.
Yeah.
But they clearly didn't have the budget to have them both in the scene at the same time.
And it could be like quote unquote torture while still being silly.
I actually don't think Cypher and Bible Girl are ever in the same shot as the villain.
No, they're not.
They're never in the same scene.
They're never.
Which probably means that guy did not have very many days on set.
Yeah, it was like it was filmed in like 3 days. You could also tell certain parts he was a lot more tired.
Yes.
Because his mouth wasn't as animated, mainly. Yeah. Because he had to have that fucking giant prosthetic top teeth bit.
He was having fun a lot of the time.
He definitely was. He was hamming it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, good for him.
He also played the Jerry Springer guy.
He did. He seemed to have more fun with that role, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because all he had to put on was a wig.
Yeah, definitely a wig.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah. But he got into that role.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was having fun. But,
yeah, it's... it's very odd.
It is.
This show, because it has all the things that make us hate this kind of media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, compare this to the Donut Man, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very similar, like, attempt at tone.
Definitely.
But that one was
But the jokes were so bad.
And it was saccharine, and...
It was like... it felt like that was for an even younger audience, because
it was for, like, 6-year-olds.
Overly sweet. Like, Blue's Clues without the fact that Blue's Clues is fucking legendary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because fucking Steve can't see shit.
I know. It's over there, Steve.
It's right there.
Open your goddamn eyes.
I understand you're on
Stop
a green
screen.
Stop
doing heroin, and maybe you'll see the clues once in a while.
I understand you're on a green screen, and you physically can't see it. But come on, Steve. They have a monitor for you to look at.
Come on, Steve.
Steve.
And Joe? Was Joe the next
guy? Joe was the next guy.
He was cool, too.
The new guy is actually pretty good.
I didn't know there was a new guy.
Yeah, there's a new guy, and they actually reference both Steve and Joe.
Cute, because I know when Joe joined, there was an episode with them both in it saying bye to Steve.
So when the new guy joined up, he was like, oh man, I don't know what Blue wants me to do. Let me call the previous owners.
Oh.
And he calls Joe, and Joe is like, hey, I'm still at college, or whatever.
For 12 years.
And
I got held back a lot.
And he was like, he's going for his master's.
Oh, gotcha.
Or his PhD, I guess.
Yeah.
And
in clueology.
And then, like, they're like, actually, I don't know what exactly Blue wants. You should call Steve. And they call Steve, and he's a private investigator now. And it's pretty good.
That's
it's a good
awesome.
Bit.
Dude.
They're very aware of it. I think they're both of them guest star a lot on the show.
That's sick. I got to see this now.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to check it out, dude.
It would be nice. The only way it could be better is if they got, like, Steve's band.
Oh, man, right? Ah, dude.
Hell yeah.
A plus.
Like, good
shit.
Good shit, Nick Jr.
Good shit.
Speaking of good shit, this movie had some.
Had a little bit. One of your favorite scenes was the Bible Man and Primordius Drool running around musicless in a merry-go-round.
So right at the end, it ends in like an amusement park, because of course it does. This guy's very clearly supposed to be the Joker. He's going for Cesar Romero a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're running around like this. Initially, there's music.
Yes.
And when they're on...
when they're, like, on it, like, looking for each other.
Yeah, yeah. But then later, they're just running around a still merry-go-round. No music, and you can just hear the pitter-patter of their feet. And I was dying.
Oh, my God. Because
it's, like, it's the exact thing.
It's straight up, like, end of a Tim and Eric bit.
I love when you have a premise, right? And it's, like, it's a conceit premise, right? It's something that's done in, like, in the edit, in the movie. It's not supposed to be diegetic.
Yes.
And then you do the same... And then you... are in the same, like, scenario, but you've taken away the non-diegetic thing.
Right.
Like when there's a chase music and then you just hear the on-set audio.
Right.
And it's just like two guys going. I would love to have like a fight scene where like it starts off like all dramatic with a like, huge music.
And they're like.
And then it's like. And then they take away all the sound effects. It's like, and it's just like. It's like. You almost hit me that time.
Yeah. All right. Watch the ring.
And they're calling shots and shit. Right. It'd be great. It'd be like a.
And you do it where. And you can even like switch between cameras to do that. Like that's done frequently. But it's like.
I love that shit.
A close action one where it's like.
And then far off is like.
Yeah. It's like one of the behind the scenes like set cameras.
Yeah. It's a distinctly worse camera too.
It's like a GoPro.
It's a phone camera, whereas the other one's a fucking Red.
Right. Oh my God. And you just hear like.
I also like the sounds of like grunting and effort right. being in those sorts of things. It's like,
I'm guessing your favorite parts of a lot of Tim and Eric bits are exactly when they do
just that. When they stop.
Yeah, it's like the very end. So they've done their joke and it's gotten to like the peak of like you're just about to overstay your welcome and they cut all the non-diegetic stuff.
Yeah. Because I don't like when they're just doing like. I know you love the editing humor, and I love it in small bursts.
Mm-hmm. I fucking love it. Yeah.
But like when the whole bit is just editing humor, I can't.
So like Discount Prices.
Discount Prices. It doesn't do it for me.
God, that one for me is just
there's bits A+. Up until like 75% through it. I'm in. I'm with it.
Right.
I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. But then it overstays its welcome by a lot.
Mm-hmm. But like jokes like the you know the Oh Mama bit. It's weird. It's a weird one, but it's basically Tim and Eric like in a basement, and they start saying like calling for mom or something.
Yeah,
and then they just keep saying "Oh mama" and like starting to just destroy shit.
Uh-huh.
And by the end of the bit, it's just the lady playing their mom standing like at the stairs looking at that, and they're just like fucking throwing like laundry baskets on the "Oh mama." Oh mama. And there's like the only sounds are those things being destroyed and them shouting "Oh mama."
That's good. I would like that.
Oh fuck,
I've never seen that bit. I haven't watched a whole lot of Tim and Eric. By the time Tim and Eric was on, I was always asleep.
Yeah, I mean it went on very late. I just have like all of it downloaded, but
I never like.
I want to see them when they go to Phoenix.
If you want us to see Tim and Eric when they go to Phoenix, Arizona, please pay us money at 69 cent special. You jerks at 69 cent special.com.
Actually, the email is, if you want to see us go to Tim and Eric, please pay us at 69 cent special.
Now we have to fucking register that.
I know, fuck,
that's shit. A really long email.
I'll have to make a PayPal for it too.
If we want to solicit people for money, we should probably have a way for them to do
we'll set all that up. That's fine.
If you represent Casper Mattress.
Purple, because they're affiliated with Tim and Eric.
If you represent MeUndies, please contact us.
MeUnderwears.
TJ.
MeUnderwears, yeah?
You want to go over the ratings?
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it.
Bible Man!
They never once had a... Nice ASMR. They never once had... A triumphant, chorus saying "Bible Man,"
or like the Batman "Bible Man."
Right? They just had the fucking early 2000s.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was.
Post grunge, whatever the hell that new
what
metal.
What the hell that was?
It was weird, but I kind of loved it.
It was it's so immediately aggressive.
It is. It's very new metal.
It was like, oh God,
what the fuck am I listening to?
I believe.
Can you take? Me,
why didn't they get Creed?
I know, right?
To a place where Bible
Man,
can you take me undies? Ah, and a purple mattress. Bibbisman, which is what I wrote down.
International Man of Bibbis.
I've changed good for fun.
Okay, this is the first. Notes to everyone out there. This is the first
track.
Yes, this is the first episode where we have replaced the good rating with fun. They are interchangeable.
Yeah.
But we are now refer to it as the fun rating.
Well, on the graph that I will inevitably do.
Once we have that together.
Once I clear up some fucking bullshit on my end. once I do that, I will just replace good with fun on all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like how when I figure out a theme song, I'll just replace all the theme songs.
You're going to go back and re-upload?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I want you to send the theme song to me then, just so I can jam out to it.
The old one?
Yeah, the old one. The current
one. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. No, I'll keep the old one. But, like, if our plan is to eventually upload this to YouTube and other channels, it's like, well, we gotta fucking obey our corporate overlords.
Maybe that'll be... This is a way into the future thing, but, you know, support us at the $1 tier on Patreon, and we'll just send you the file with the original theme song.
We'll just send you a link to it, yeah, because it's literally available online. It's, Well, okay, the one we with our voices on it, well, we can send you, yeah.
So... The fun rating for this one is 3.
That seems actually a little low, but okay.
So for...
What were the bits that dropped it?
The first bit that dropped it was the first time we saw the villain.
Yeah.
The first time he opened his fucking mouth.
His fucking craw.
I think I took one look at him, and then I immediately docked that point, yeah. And the second time was, I think, at the computer. When the computer was, like, just listing what was going on.
Yeah, no, yeah. To me, that was a pacing thing. But yeah, well, I get you.
A lot of these are interconnected.
Correct.
I'm noticing. Because mm-hmm. a pacing issue will reduce fun.
Correct. But it's not...
It might have also been the collar pulliness of Sammy Davey.
I think that was it.
Because I was like, ooh, it's really hard to laugh at this.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it was...
This day and age.
It was all right to laugh. It was easy to laugh.
Well, because they weren't playing into the stereotype. Like,
no,
sure,
it was
definitely still
supposed to be
Jerry Springer.
He's Jerry Springer specifically.
Right, and sure, it had like the hint of like
he did
the
sound exactly
New York
like Bernie
Jewish.
Sanders.
He did.
I was like, whoa, Bernie, what are you doing here?
He did like definitely have like
Bernie, bro.
The New York Jewish accent and like the hair.
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing up like, I'm Jewish.
No, he wasn't Jerry Springer.
No.
Or he wasn't a Jerry Lewis.
He was just acting like Jerry Springer would with a little bit more of an over-the-top sort of sound.
Yeah. He's a cartoon.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a, we're making fun of Jewish people, it's
we're making fun of Jerry Springer,
which I'm like, cool, that's fine.
The hair was weird.
Hair was odd.
Because Jerry Springer
almost,
had like
a weird spray tan.
Hair. Yeah, he had a weird spray tan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what you're going for
here.
Well,
see, the thing that really concerned me when the scene started was it said the Sammy Davey Show. I'm like, okay, Sammy Davis Jr., what the
right.
fuck? And the
famously,
zoom is pretty far, and the spray tan from far away looked like almost like blackface.
It was very close to
and
blackface.
And I got really concerned that
we
were looking at
we don't know what the
it.
Guy actually looks like. We didn't look that up.
No.
Like the actor.
I think it's just like very slightly darker skin tone. It was just a tan.
It's a tan. Because
once it got in, you're like, oh, okay, it's just a tan.
Yeah.
Granted, like the color wasn't dark enough to be like, quote unquote, like vaudeville blackface.
It does look a lot like what Hollywood would do for
right,
blackface
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not fucking shoe polish.
Right. But still, I was very like, and then it got in. I was like, oh, okay. Whew.
Yeah. Not to say that it would be okay if that's what they were doing.
Right.
But it doesn't look like that's what they're doing.
No, that didn't seem to be the intent.
And for all we know, the dude could just be really tan.
Yeah.
Because he's wearing a lot of paint.
What was his fucking name?
Scrumbus
McDougal.
Scrooby Dooby
Doo. They don't give any actor names on the back. I just realized
they don't.
That.
But if you look up the episode on IMDb.
True. Bibbleman. Bibbleman.
Well, while he's doing that, how are you guys? Oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that.
Tell me more.
Does he look like a bitch?
It's been going since 1995.
Is it still going?
Apparently, there's no end date on Bible Man.
So they haven't been canceled?
No.
They haven't definitively said they're done. When was the latest one?
Let's see. Full series cast. Apparently there have been 26... Is Willie Ames no longer Bible Man? He ended in 2005.
What?
Yeah, Willie Ames was Bible Man until 2005.
Who's Bible
Robert
Man
Robert T. Schlipp was Bible Man until 2010.
What the fuck? There's additional Bibbles?
There's been like four different Bible girls.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Martin Davis, Mr. Davis. Oh, there's the Yuck Yuck Man.
Ew.
There's a character named Ludacris. Not the rapper.
Oh.
There's actually like four people that played
Ludacris. Oh, I think Ludacris is actually their Joker.
There's a person named Rapscallion Polite Sinister.
They're running out of names. I mean, Bible Girl. What the fuck?
Right? I don't... Oh, come on. Where is...
Uh-huh.
What was the character's name?
Primordius Drool.
Primordius... Fuckman. Let's see. Primordius... There's the Fibbler.
I remember the Fibbler. Or the concept of the Fibbler.
Let's see.
Can you guess which Batman villain he's parodying?
Ah, Jeff Scott.
Jeff Scott. What's his deal?
No, wait a second. Wait a second. Yeah, that's Jeff Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Scott. Primordius Drool.
And Sammy Davey.
He also played the Wacky Protester, Lucy and Eunice at one point when they were male voices.
Oh.
Rotten Guy, Mr. Theophilus. I don't know that. There's no picture.
No picture, huh?
No picture.
Well, we can assume then that he's not trying for blackface because we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Correct.
Because...
You want to know who was the longest running character other than Bible Man?
Who?
Or sorry, the longest running actor playing the same character?
Who?
Cypher.
Yeah.
1999 to 2010.
I don't think anybody ever recast him.
10 years.
It's a steady gig.
Do you want to know what the whole series has as a rating on IMDb?
What?
2.6!
That's well within our range, baby.
Baby.
Dude, I don't know how this has a 2.6.
I know, right?
This is fantastic. Maybe
I'll read a review after we're done.
Maybe there's some stinkers.
Yeah, I'll read one of the 1-star reviews after we're done with your ratings.
Okay. Riffability.
Yeah.
Immediately did not have subtitles.
Yep, so that immediately docks a point.
Because... I feel like I have to justify that every single time. It's not just that I like subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
It's that knowing what the fuck is going on helps understand what you can... Like, what's...
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to make fun of the movie when you understand what the fuck is happening.
Yeah. And for me, like, I get that the zen of riffing is to try and get your riffs in when there's no dialogue.
Right.
But that's pretty hard in a lot of movies, especially things like Bible Man, where the pace is so frenetic.
And we're not talking about, like, oh, how easy would it be to riff if we had time to, like, sit down, write a script.
And mystery science. No. We're talking on the spot.
You're watching a movie with your friends.
Yes.
Because we're judging these based on, like, first viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously most of these suck way worse on the second viewing.
And maybe down the line we go revisit some of our old movies, but...
Oh, yeah. Especially to, you know, redo graphs.
Exactly.
Because I like graphs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, like, I think the first, like, fucking 25 episodes, we don't have any.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all of these we're going into basically blind.
Yes.
And so our riffs are happening organically as things pop up in the movie. And... As such, like, we're not gonna hold back a joke and write it down.
Yeah.
We're gonna say it as soon as we have it in our heads, and subtitles allow us to continue to basically, quote-unquote, hear what things are going on in the movie while we're riffing. So that's why we tend to dock a point.
It also lets us not blow out speakers.
Yes.
Because the sound, that's actually one thing that this movie does, or that this video does not do well, sound mixing.
Especially in the beginning. The music is mixed very loud, and they couldn't level out the guy's, like, voice levels enough and mix it with the audio so that you could fucking hear
Plus
him.
Plus, he's got the prosthetic.
Yes. And he's getting closer and further from the camera.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the volume levels are changing when that happens.
Yeah, they don't have, a really good shotgun mic.
Or on, like, a lav mic or something.
They should have lavved him.
Yeah.
Really. Although, he is wearing, like, really, like...
Fucking weird clothes.
It's hard to lav a suit.
True,
surprisingly.
True.
You know? Because you would think, oh, there's a lot of places to hide the microphone.
Cut it or something.
It's more that there's a lot of parts rubbing against each other.
Oh, and you don't want that. Yeah.
That pollutes the sound. You have to, like, be really good. Yeah. And obviously they can't afford a really good one. On the movie I was in, which I'm not going to name yet, not because it doesn't matter.
It was Superman Man of Steel.
Yes, I was in that. They had a really nice, like, sort of cloth, like, Band-Aid sort of thing.
To stick it to your chest?
Yeah, so the lav went under that.
Oh, interesting.
And it was permeable enough that it could still hear, but it was protected enough from
the rubbage?
From things moving around, because I would be wearing, like, really, like, starchy clothes, basically, just because, like, that was the
character.
That was the, well, we bought all the clothes at Goodwill, so
no, there you go.
So they're not upkept in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was really neat. I liked that. I didn't like taking it off because I'm a naturally very hairy man.
Yeah, and that's like waxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually said, "Oh, Kelly Clarkson." like that movie.
Steve Carell.
Like that movie.
Like that one movie, you know.
But the Golden overall Girls. Riffability was 3.
It was here. Great.
It was really solid riffing.
I think there were a couple points where it was tough too, so that's why you docked it a point. Yeah.
Mostly, I think it was real early stuff. It was It was mostly sound issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Actually, it was entirely sound issues because one point was docked for the
subtitles,
and then one was because we couldn't fucking hear what was going on.
Yep. Now that did seem to not be as much of an issue later in the movie.
All the shots ended up way closer.
Yeah, they were right
up.
They
could hide a shotgun mic easier.
Yeah, they're right up in their business.
So like, yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still like. The overall level mixing was still pretty
It was a little iffy.
Anytime there was like music or something going on, which they stopped doing a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand a goddamn word he was saying during his musical number.
Dude, neither did I, other than the words under my skin.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, that whole part would probably be enough to dock it down to 3 by itself.
Yeah. It was
just because it's impossible to riff on that. The only funny parts are when he's like, dangling, like doing his shoes are on strings for some reason.
His
mic is on a string.
That blew my. Whatever.
And it's very clearly on a string. You can see it.
I struggle to think of the reasoning why that existed.
I think they thought it was funny on the day. And that's all the shots they got.
Cool.
Plot understandability. This one is very high. It's a 4.
Yeah, it's simple.
I docked it at the computer part. This is the computer part that I
docked. Yeah.
Because if you have to stop your movie to tell us what's going on in a fucking slideshow, basically.
More or less.
Unless you're Al Gore, that's not good plot.
An inconvenient Bible.
It's a Bible, but it's like a lot of the pages are like stuck together.
Each page is upside down. It's like, oh, that's really inconvenient.
A couple of them are like on their side. And you're like,
shit.
One of them, like half of the text is redacted.
names censored for protection of the innocent.
Someone made blackout poetry.
Nice. It just says, of. The rest is black.
Of God. Yeah. And pacing. Now, this movie moved along at a really fast clip.
Nice clip.
But the second that they said we're a 40-minute video, move it along, every time they slowed down, I docked it a point.
Yep. Nice.
So it has a 1 in pacing.
So it's not so much that there was...
It's not keeping to its own ethos about pacing.
Exactly. It was... how do I describe it?
Mm-hmm. It's consistency. Yeah,
it was. It felt like they knew they had a 40-minute movie.
Yeah.
So they purposely went faster in a lot of parts, and then realized they went too fast, and then slowed down certain parts to fill time.
Stretch.
Yeah. So it was inconsistent.
Yeah. If they had kept to their ethos and made it like really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
That
would be fit if they made like fit both parts into one video, but then you can't sell 2 VHSs.
That's true. You could have had it be a double-length video. Also, I would be pissed off if I purchased a videotape and it was 40 minutes long.
Yeah, damn it.
Especially if it's like of a TV show that deliberately ends on a cliffhanger and tells me that it's going to end on a cliffhanger on the back.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too.
I'd be real mad.
I'd also be pissed if I bought a video and it had the wrong video in it.
I mean, you did that though.
I know, but I mainly did it because it said part 2 on the case, and but it was actually part 1.
Oh, you checked it before you purchased it?
I did. It was open.
Okay. See, what I thought was going on was you were going to purchase it because it said part 2 and it would be fucking hilarious if we only watched part 2.
That was why I initially grabbed it, because I'm like, oh, part 2, this is hilarious. And then I slid it out because I was checking to make sure it was the right tape. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
Part 1, I was like, oh, even better.
Yeah, so. And then we get an extra joke.
Right?
But yeah, the pacing, it was uneven. And yes. Now, this is not the same kind of pacing issue as something where it's an hour, but it feels like 40.
Yeah, hours. Not at all.
This is 40 minutes and it feels like six.
It flies by.
This fucker, this is a great thing.
I was invested in this movie. Show.
Yeah, like, unlike a lot of our stuff, this is a thing you can just throw this on to make fun of it real quick.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's a hoot.
It's a holler.
A lot like Spookly, this is a good one to let the edibles kick in.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because, like, you know, it might take a half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, and then by the end of it, you're like, all right, let's watch Frankenhooker.
Twice,
dude. I'm going to watch that scene where they all take the super crack and blow up.
I still remember the torso.
Dude.
I don't like the torso.
Oh, wait, with the jaw on it?
With the jaw on the bottom of it and right, the
some
hand
fucking
feet.
Sid from Toy Story shit right there. Ugh, with like humans.
It. I don't like it.
God, that movie is fucking incredible.
Ugh. But yeah, so those are my... Those are
it's
my
on movies. Amazon Prime if anyone wants it.
Overall ratings. I will link to the IMDb for Frankenhooker.
Yes.
Just in case someone wants to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, rent it for like $3.
Yeah, dude, it's definitely worth $3.
100%.
This one is not.
No, this is worth 69 cents.
Right about. Oh, that would have been a great place to just end it, huh?
I know, right? But that's fine. We'll keep going.
We got more. Yeah. Ooh, that's actually a good, sign-off.
This one's worth 69 cents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for this? About 69 cents.
Right? Yeah.
That's a good... We should contemplate that.
Right?
Nah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, good contemplation.
Good contemplation. Yeah. TJ.
Kevin.
Would you recommend this to a friend?
Hell yeah. At least the friends I know.
Yeah, like, I suppose we should qualify that. Like, it depends on your friends, right?
Oh, 100%. I think at least a majority of my friends mm-hmm. would get a kick out of watching this.
I would think anyone who was previously a devout Christian
mm-hmm.
or previously a hardcore atheist would get a fucking hoot out of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And... not only because, like, you're making fun of, like, the content, but, the actual thing itself is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a nice little added touch.
There are good secular-ass jokes in here.
Yeah. Some fucking, even you dirty heathen atheists can get it.
Unlike in Judgment, which is, like, hey.
Terrible.
You need a thick understanding of what we're talking about.
You need the fucking backstory of the goddamn world.
In order to get... what we're going for.
In order to get the meaty bits.
You need to have seen Tribulation because it doesn't fucking explain anything.
At the very least, Tribulation.
That's just a thing for life. But
watch Gary Busey.
In that movie specifically, in no other movies.
Yep. It's Tribulation Forever.
Gary Busey!
Tribulation Forever is a good, like...
Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Power Rangers! Bible Man!
Power Rangers Lost Busey.
I don't know where I am.
Turns into the Red Ranger. Starts
Neil Breen.
Dude, what if we had like a
what if Neil Breen directed an episode of Bible Man?
Oh, I can only get so erect. As long as Willie Ames still wrote it.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part about this episode is that Willie Ames wrote, directed, starred in it.
Yep.
And I'm like, and it didn't turn out shit.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of those vanity projects that was just fucking
I mean, it very
trash.
Clearly was a vanity project.
It is, but he gets it.
He understands, hey, this is a cheesy kids show,
yeah.
And I'm basing most of the character design on Joel Schumacher Batman.
Yeah, and it seemed less about, like, fulfilling an artistic vision and more about having fun and teaching something he wanted to teach people.
It kind of seemed like the only reason why he wrote, directed, and started it is because then they had to pay fewer people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But,
Willie Ames?
Ames.
Ames. Gaze into your mind, into the chamber of your arms.
Good joke.
Thank you. I didn't totally steal it from the McElroys.
Would you recommend this to an enemy?
I don't know. There are bits that are like wholly unsatisfying.
Yeah, the song.
And the newspaper bit.
Yeah. But like those are few and far between. And also
I would recommend it to an enemy if I didn't have part two.
Ooh, leave them hanging.
Yeah.
And we don't have part two, so.
And we don't have part two. Also, even better, it's in the part two case.
Oh, that'll really annoy him.
That'll really fuck him up.
The reason why I wouldn't is because the villain actually has a pretty good
scheme. That's a good point.
I don't want to give my enemy ideas.
Yeah. Because that's not like a crazy sci-fi-ass villain plot either.
No, it's like a, hey, how do you break a like Bible-ass hero?
Someone could do that in fucking high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
make
would
make him popular and then
rip it away from him.
Crush his fucking hopes and dreams. Give him a complex.
I think I've seen that episode of at least one show.
Is that like Gilmore Girls or something? I don't fucking know.
Oh, actually, that might be a plotline of Gilmore Girls. Come on.
It's definitely not a show I've seen, so I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it a lot.
Is that the one with the girl in it?
Well, there's several girls.
No, the one with the guy that is in Supernatural. Is he in Gilmore Girls? Yeah.
Yeah, he is Dean.
Alexis Bledel, is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe.
With the large eyes.
Oh, because you held your fucking hand on your head.
Large forehead, too.
Oh.
But I didn't want to say that because I'd feel bad.
I never noticed that about her.
She's very cute.
I was always looking at her eyes.
Is she like the smart one with the mom who has like the really rich family?
Yes.
Okay, got
it. That's literally the plot of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Kat watched it. Yeah.
I've watched it with Kat.
Yeah, there you go. And I avoided it.
It's actually pretty good up until the last season. Last two.
That sounds like a lot of shows.
Yeah. Well, because, okay, so the creator of the show left before the last season to air on TV. And so I think right at the end, it lost a lot of what made it, like,
because they didn't have the,
what it was,
the heart, the creative heart that they had before.
People will disagree with me, and they're within their right to.
Mm-hmm. They're still wrong.
They're incorrect.
Yeah.
But then Netflix did like a revival.
Okay.
And it sucked.
Got it.
It was bad.
Yeah, I mean,
that one missed the point of most of the characters, but the creator was back.
Oh, interesting.
So
that's interesting.
I think the creator just got a little out of touch.
He got over it, sort of. Yeah. Because to me, that, like, whenever I hear that, the one I have the most intimate knowledge of that happening to is Scrubs.
Yeah.
Because I adore that show.
It's also like Scrubs is a really like clear example of,
it's very clear.
Everybody left after this one episode.
Not even just the creative team, like the actors left too.
It was clearly designed to be a series finale.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone left, and then it got renewed for a next season.
Yeah, that's like, oh,
how do you do it?
That and Supernatural. Because Supernatural was never designed to go beyond five seasons.
Well, and it's still going, I think.
It's still fucking going. I think, no, it finally ended. Or they announced it was their last season.
Got it.
It's like season like fucking 17 or something crazy. Because it made so much money.
Yeah,
it was so, so popular. But the writer always designed it to be a five season show.
Yeah.
So like basically everything ended after season five. And they're like, renewed for season six. And they're like, oh, fuck, we got to throw some shit together.
Another really clear example of that is The Simpsons, I think.
Yeah,
The Simpsons is still going.
Still fucking going.
But, like, they lost a lot of their really good early writers.
Yeah.
At right around season 11.
Was that to Futurama or?
To Futurama or other productions.
Got it.
Because I know Conan left a lot earlier than that.
Oh, I didn't know he was a Simpsons writer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was a Simpsons writer, and I think.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think he did another talk show.
Like Tonight Show or something?
I don't think he did Leno.
Letterman?
I don't think he did Letterman. Letterman's got his own team.
I
don't know.
Okay.
But he was definitely on Simpsons, and I think he wrote some of my favorite episodes.
Wow.
Or he led the writing team for.
Right.
Because obviously it's a huge team.
Yeah, it's a group. Group effort.
But yeah, they lost a lot of their like really early stuff, and they had to get new writers, and those writers only had what they had seen of The Simpsons to go off of.
And it becomes a little incestuous.
Well, and I don't know. It also loses something with that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the soul of the people who made it, because they're willing to push in ways that they had not gone before. And these guys are trying to recapture what they had seen in The Simpsons.
That makes it's sort of the future-facing versus nostalgic sort
right.
of
it's
thing.
Why I'm wary about the Picard show.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, are they trying to recapture Next Generation, or are they trying to tell a new story with similar characters?
Mm-hmm. And the hardest part is because, in my opinion, because Picard is such an established
and an
iconic character.
Yeah, yeah.
Any small thing has to be justified.
It's kind of why the new Star Trek movies mm-hmm. kind of fall flat for me personally is because they're not Kirk.
No, they're completely different.
You could have named them different characters.
It's not Spock either.
Spock is closer.
Sure, I get that, but
it's also harder to fuck up Spock.
Yeah, he also beats the ever living shit out of Benedict Cumberbatch.
I hate that movie a lot. Here's Kevin bitching corner.
Hey, welcome to Kevin's bitching corner.
So I actually really liked.
Just end the episode.
That would be fucked up.
I know.
Because I have a lot to say about this subject. We're going to 2 hours now.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, my microphone went crazy.
If I go too long, feel free to cut me out.
All right.
In the edit. But
I'll just.
I actually really liked Star Trek 1.
I'll just put in a commercial if you get too long.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun.
I liked it a lot. It was trying to be its own thing.
Yeah.
And it was...
And it even established that it's like a separate timeline.
Right. It's a separate timeline. They referenced the original timeline.
Cute.
They're like, we're different in this one because here's the things that are different.
Yeah. We made fucking crazy shit.
And also, like, this is a more war-y timeline.
Yeah.
Deliberately. They get that out of the way. There's going to be more action and violence in this one because it's a war timeline.
Because it's 2016?
Yeah.
15?
No, 9, I think.
Fuck me, it's that long ago?
Yeah, because I was still in high school.
Oh my god, you're right.
I think.
I'm going to look it up while you continue.
Look up Star Trek. But Into Darkness.
By J.J. Abrams?
Into Darkness, they decided to do Khan.
Yes.
And everyone knew they were doing Khan.
Yes, because it's 2.
It's
the original second movie.
And also they were being
Khan.
Really vague about who the villain was going to be.
Correct.
Just that he was cast as
Bendy Dick Crimpley back.
Bendy
2009, you're absolutely right.
God, I'm so smart.
Ow, my brain.
What if I'm smart?
Oh, that makes so much sense why it's 09, because when did Yelchin die?
Oh yeah, like 12?
Fucking was it that long ago?
Because he was in Into Darkness.
Yes. He was in both, yeah.
God, I think it
rest
was 12.
In peace, buddy.
Dude, I miss that guy.
He was so good.
He was so sweet.
I know.
Yelchin. But we knew
2016 is when he
16.
Passed away.
Oh, wow. God, that was a lot sooner than I thought it was.
Anyway.
Which also means the movie the Star Trek movie he wasn't in came out after that.
Beyond?
Yeah.
Yeah. Posthumously released. He was in it.
He was in it?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess
apparently Beyond was pretty good, but I haven't seen it.
They burned me on Into Darkness.
Continue with your Into Darkness rant.
So we knew it was Khan.
Correct.
Going in. And the thing about Khan is that he is a perfect foil for Kirk.
Correct.
They are both really emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. They are both dedicated to their crew, especially.
Yes.
And
loyal.
But they are both very self-centered.
Yes. And there's sort of different takes on that.
Right. Kirk is a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I will do anything for my crew, including putting myself unnecessarily into the line of fire.
You could argue sometimes he's a little bit of like a renegade, but never outside the bounds of doing the right thing, sort of.
He's the kind of guy who will cheat to change an exam to have a winnable state because he cannot bear himself to think about an unwinnable state.
Exactly.
He will do everything in his power to succeed.
Right.
Love that about him.
And fucks all the ladies.
He actually only fucks a few ladies.
I know. That's just a trope that went crazy.
My favorite trope about Kirk is his double hand, like, backhammer.
Oh, his like, axe handle.
He, like, hammers someone's back. And I'm like, that would hurt, but, like, it wouldn't kill me.
Unless you're in a lizard suit, then you would die.
It might crack my back a little bit.
Ooh, thanks, Kirk.
Thanks, Kirk.
Thanks, Cap'n.
No problem. But, like, okay, so he's really emotional. And he's emotional in that way in the movie.
Correct.
So in the movies, Kirk is basically... not quite the same guy, but he's close.
Yes. Yeah, you can still tell he is Kirk.
He's supposed to be Kirk.
Yes.
Spock is basically Spock.
Yes.
They made...
with a couple... yeah. Yeah.
So one would expect Khan to basically be Khan.
Yes.
He is a foil instead for Spock.
Yes.
Which doesn't make sense because Spock's foil is Kirk.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because Kirk and Spock are designed to be opposites.
But they're also learning different lessons when they encounter their foil. When Spock and Kirk interact and Spock learns a lesson, he is learning to be more in touch with his human side and his emotions.
Correct.
When Kirk learns from Spock, he learns to take
slow
a
down
bit
and
of,
think.
Right.
Yeah.
When Kirk learns from Khan, it is that jumping into these situations can lead you to be more ruthless than you intend.
Right. So just be measured with your... It's right. not like the same sort of measured that he learns from Spock.
What does Spock learn from this new Khan? Punch.
Make with the punch.
He doesn't learn anything.
No.
We don't gain anything from this.
No.
Nobody learns a lesson. Nobody grows as a character.
And that was the heart of Star Trek is characters.
Yeah.
Because like,
and I'm okay with the new movies being very action-y.
Sure, but you still have to have character-driven things.
They have to be, it has to be relevant to the character.
It has to teach them something. They have to learn something about themselves. They have to learn something about what they want.
Like,
all that shit.
Scotty having a hard time with... I'm not saying this is a thing that happens in the movies. I'm giving an example.
Right.
Like, if Scotty, like, goes a little overboard trying to, like, improve the engine and it causes a problem that causes a big action scene.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's perfect because Scotty learns a fucking lesson.
Yes, then afterwards you have a little scene where he reflects. Like, not like in the whole, like, now what did we learn today, children?
Or like, the Evangelion navel-gazing for 3 episodes.
and then jacking off on a... girl in a coma.
I hadn't yet gotten to that episode.
I'm sorry.
No, I know.
Was that the movie? I thought that was the movie.
I think that's the movie.
Yeah.
There Delicious. Are opinions on whether or not you should treat the movies as canon.
I mean, he used it as canon, but... What's his name? I was going to say...
Shinji.
Shinji. I almost said Sanji. That was close.
That's from One Piece Suit.
Oh, you're right! Which is still going.
Yeah.
I think it's the top grossing manga of all time.
Well, yeah, because it has more volumes.
And it's gone on for like 412 years.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are still going, Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a little bit worried about like
Picard.
Because Into Darkness really did not capture the essence of what it was trying to capture.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you want to change it a little bit. But if you wanted to make Khan a foil for Spock, which I think is a great idea.
Sure.
It's a fine idea because it's Spock's movie.
Well, could you also argue that maybe this wasn't intentional, but like, because Spock is what? Half human, half Romulan. Half Vulcan.
God.
And you'd usually think that you'd have like a Romulan as his foil.
But the villain in the first movie was a Romulan.
Exactly. That's what I was going to go on.
You burn so. Your Romulan.
Yeah.
And that guy is a foil for Kirk.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Which, okay, I see it. All right.
Fire everything.
But the lesson that Spock would learn from an overly emotional, not overly emotional, but like driven by emotions, superhuman essentially, because Khan is like a bioengineered.
Yeah,
human.
Exactly. Yeah.
The lesson he would learn from that.
Not as bioengineered as Ricardo Montalban.
I mean, that is Khan.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I preferred Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. I buy that Ricardo Montalban is like a
like
engineered
a
super
Greek
soldier.
Greek god, yeah.
And like he talks like a Greek god, it's and
like,
I'm like,
yeah.
But fucking I look at Benedict Cumberbatch and I'm like, what alien birthed you?
Yeah. Oh, they drift a little chlorine in that.
That's
gene
a fucking
pool.
Romulan.
That's true.
Not that bald fucker.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch would work a lot better as one of the, either like a Romulan or a Vulcan.
Or a Vulcan.
Yeah. Because they got like sort of the elven like pulled like facial structure.
He's got a sharp face.
He's got a very pointy face.
And I understand that some people find him attractive somehow. But like...
Yeah. Bandyman...
That makes him a perfect elf or Vulcan.
Yes.
Or dragon apparently.
He's got a great voice.
Have you seen like the footage of him like playing Smaug?
Doing the mocap?
Yeah.
No.
It's so fun.
Yeah?
He's having a blast.
Oh, I bet, dude.
Because he's crawling around on the floor.
Dude, he's getting into
he's
it.
He's getting into it, which is great. Love
yeah,
that guy.
That's sick.
Listen, I have no problems with Benedict
he
Cumberbatch.
He seems like
a
wonderful person.
Or as an actor, really.
Yeah,
I don't like Sherlock.
I think he was... was that Benedict Cumberbatch am I thinking of?
What are you thinking of?
A movie.
Which
well,
one?
I know... No, yeah, the one where he played Alan Turing.
Oh, Imitation Game.
Yeah, that was good. He's very
oh,
good.
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Didn't like it?
No, because it made it. Because Alan Turing was way cooler than that.
Oh, I know that, but...
I don't know. I think you could have had a better movie if you were more kind to Alan Turing.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because, you know, dude was amazing and we wouldn't have won World War II without
fucking
him.
Fucking badass.
I'm just saying, throwing it out there.
Tossing it.
But yeah, so like what Spock would learn from an emotionally driven Khan. Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry, I'm listening.
Oh, because you were staring off into space.
No, I was just listening.
That was the face you put.
I was waiting for
a chance to chime in.
Yeah.
What it looked like was that face that you put on when someone's like,
"Hello, darkness."
Yeah, you had "Hello, darkness, my old friend" on, and I'm like,
"My bad."
Oh God,
my bad.
I'm not saying
I have resting Garfunkel face.
You do. It's really bizarre. You have resting like
I'm perpetually deep in thought. Help.
You like that NPC meme?
The what? Oh, I hope you didn't mean like NPC in the derogatory term.
I did.
Okay, cool.
Just your blank expression.
Right.
Was going. I'm not. I obviously.
I know.
Because it's a bullshit.
It's stupid.
It's stupid as hell.
Yes.
But
I don't even know what it means. But it's stupid.
I can explain it to you after.
Okay, cool.
Because this it's not fit for here.
No.
What he would learn from a from Khan, right?
Hi.
Is that especially if he's a Vulcan?
Yeah.
Right.
Like a rogue Vulcan?
Right.
Not so necessarily a Romulan?
In Into Darkness, this Khan is a lot more like, I don't want to say ruthless, but cold and calculating.
He's a lot, exactly, yes.
So
he's not like OG Khan.
Who is just like, I'm going to...
Who feels more like barbarian.
Right.
Whereas this new one feels more like warlock.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to fly this ship into this city because it will kill the most people.
Yeah.
That is my plan.
Yeah.
Like
sociopath.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got a goal and he's gonna go for that goal 100% of the time. And the whole movie
do it for the Gipper.
The whole movie Spock is being told, don't do that.
Yeah.
The whole movie it is building up to Spock, please do not do the ruthless thing because you've done it all movie and it sucked for everyone.
Yeah.
And then he has to do that in order to beat Khan.
Yeah.
He has to jump out of the... Like, he has to act like Kirk in order to beat Khan, right?
But
he's learning the same lesson that he would learn from Kirk, is my problem.
Yeah, yes, yes.
You don't need that.
And it would be a much, in my opinion, much stronger lesson learned from Kirk because their relationship is so much closer.
Right.
Like, maybe that was the whole, like... Because, you know, was it in... Two, which one? The one where Spock sacrifices himself?
That's two.
Okay. So they reverse the roles.
They do it.
In Into Darkness. And then Spock does the Khan yell, which I didn't like.
No, he would not yell.
No.
Khan would just put on the most blank face possible, saunter out onto the bridge, or saunter out to the fucking teleporter, teleport himself inside of Khan and then explode out of his chest.
He would telefrag him.
He would teleport like onto Khan's bridge, deck him until he explodes, and then look the
piss
rest of
on his
crew,
corpse.
And while he's doing that, look the rest of the crew dead in the eye and be like, do it. I dare you.
So exactly what Bible Man did to this
exactly
guy.
What I'm saying is Bible Man is better than Star Trek.
No. That is a good place.